The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. In coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." She was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God shall give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I have preached meditations that lasted basically nearly an hour long just speaking about this gospel passage. So here we go. I'd just like to focus on a couple of little details without delving into it too much. How beautiful it is when you deal with a person that authentically, sincerely just wants to do God's will. In religious life, when you have vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, you know, sometimes the superiors, when they want to ask somebody to do something, or they want to, you know, "We need a job done," or whatever, you always feel sorry for the superior when they're there kind of calculating, okay, how am I going to present this, and is there somebody, and I can't ask him because he's going to be, he's got hang-ups about such and such. And how much simpler and more peaceful and more joyful it is for the superiors when they simply know, whatever it is, I can just lay it on them and it won't be a problem. And we see that in the heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary here, this young girl that her only desire in life is to simply do God's will no matter what. She really didn't ever even take herself into account. And you see different stages here. At the beginning, okay, an angel appears to her. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." Understandably, she was greatly troubled at what was said. What sort of greeting this might be. Why? Well, first of all, angels, even for the Blessed Virgin Mary, did not appear to her on any kind of regular basis, okay? It's not like, it's probably the first time she's ever seen an angel. So the very fact that an angel appears is going to catch your attention, right? But he begins with a message, "Hail, full of grace," which in her mind, I'm sure, would have been interpreted, "Favored one, hail, you have been chosen, gratuitous favor by God, the Lord is with you." Now, those are the words that always indicate God is about to give you a mission. So understandably, she's a little bit troubled. Okay, where is this going? So, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you found favor with God." Okay, same thing. That's where the word grace and favor, it's actually the same word, charis in Greek. And he says something that completely was out of her consideration. "You will have a child." Well, she's a consecrated virgin. So understandably, again, she asks a question. And this, I think, is part of obedience. Obedience doesn't only mean, "Yes, sir, right away, sir." That should be our fundamental disposition. But if we're going to obey, part of obeying is, if I want to invest my whole person into it, I've got to get my mind, wrap my mind around this thing as much as possible. Not that I have to understand everything in order to say yes to God, but it's If I'm going to give God a full yes, I have to be able to at least have enough information and understanding to know how to proceed. Okay, God, I want to do your will, but I have no idea what that looks like. Well, you're probably not going to accomplish too much. Now, if you at least ask God for the clarification, Lord, I want to do your will. Tell me what you want. Tell me how this is going to work so that I can say, so that I know what I'm supposed to do. Again, there's a beauty in that. The fundamental disposition that she's showing is, I want to say yes. I need to understand how I'm going to go about doing this. And again, when you're in a religious order, for example, putting myself in the same conversation with the Blessed Virgin Mary, very humbly. I remember when I was in Manila, that was my first priestly assignment. I'd been there for 9 years, or eight years and some change. And our superior, some of you actually know him, Father John, he's now our global superior. At the time, he was just a lowly superior of all of the United States and Asia and Canada. He was visiting, and he kind of said, hey, you know, you've been here a while. What would you think about leaving and doing youth ministry, et cetera, et cetera? And I said, look, Father John, just whatever you want. Just you don't have to sit there and politic with me. Just if you want me to do something, say it, and I'll do it. But I also said, look, in all fairness, I want to add, I've picked up bad habits in the Philippines, because you can get away with stuff over there. Here, you know, if you look at a child cross-eyed, you're probably looking at a 6-month prison sentence. It's like, and priests are terrified to do youth ministry and young adult ministry. It's like, stay away, because of all the, you know, clergy abuse crisis and everything. Yeah, over there, I would do stuff. I threw frogs at kids and, you know, told them they're knuckleheads and, you know, bonked them on the head and did whatever. And they would laugh, and it was just part of messing around. I said, Father, I said, look, I mean, I'm totally fine doing whatever you want me to do, but just know, I mean, I might just unwittingly stick my foot in it because I've gotten used to things that in the United States are not going to fly given the current climate in the church, right? Okay, what was I doing? I was clarifying. I wasn't telling him no, I'm just trying to clarify. The Blessed Mother, I think, was doing something very similar. How is this going to be if I'm consecrated virgin? And then God gives the answer through the angel. And once the answer is clear, there was never any resistance. And she still, it's not like she understood the big picture globally, but she had enough information to work with, which is the important thing. And once she had that, then it was just simply, Lord, unconditionally, whatever you want, let it be done to me according to your word. How beautiful is that? And as a result of that, well, as a result of that, you and I are going to Mass today. Had she not had that, we would not be receiving communion later on. So as we approach Christmas, let's place ourselves into the hands of the Blessed Mother, and let's ask her also to form our hearts so that we can have that absolute, radical, docile disposition before God. And as we're in Mass, we're about to receive Him in communion. Really, this was the moment when she received communion for the first time. Really, the Christ ascended from heaven and became incarnate within her and dwelt within her. You and I is going to do something very similar in just a few minutes. So again, let's ask the Blessed Mother to help prepare our hearts to receive our Lord with the same dispositions that she did. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.